Hey, are you annoyed and overstimulated when shopping in person? I am. Do you suffer from sticker shock when you see the inflated prices at your local grocer? Yes. Hello, have you actually seen the prices of eggs lately? And heaven forbid you try to eat healthy, sustainable, eco-friendly, cruelty-free, or nutritious foods. It is outrageous. Well, here's how you can cut out the middleman and all that frustration. Thrive Market gives control back to its shoppers and offers sustainable, quality products that stores either run out of or they just don't carry. Thrive Market is a $5, that's right, you heard it here, $5 monthly membership market, and all products are curated to your specific dietary needs and interests. Why wouldn't you try Thrive Market? It's a no-brainer. So click the link in our show notes to get 30% off your first purchase and get a $60 free gift when you become a member of Thrive Market. Why take a chance of missing out on your favorite items and discovering new flavors? Join Thrive Market today. All right, scroll to our show notes, click the link, and enjoy your savings now. Back to our show. Welcome to Direct Impact, where we discuss the various ways our mental health and quality of life intersect. I'm your host, Andrea Epstein, licensed professional counselor, master's addictions counselor, and certified sex therapist. Think of our time together as focused self-reflection mixed with insight, passion, and empowerment. Now, take a deep breath. Now let's dive in and see what impacts you today. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Andrea Epting, and you are listening to the Direct Impact Podcast. We have a candid conversation today, ready for you guys, on the topic of intimacy betrayal. And we have Mary Bartito with us today. Welcome, Mary.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah. Do you want to go over this topic with us?
Yeah. So today's episode is... I have a tendency to defend my abuser, and it's really looking into the overcompensation in protecting our abuser, or I guess in this case, what we're talking about is the addict.
Absolutely. And so in the work that I do with betrayed partners, there is an overwhelming tendency, especially in the beginning, and of course, depending on their own backgrounds, histories, and childhoods, there is an overwhelming tendency to protect and defend the person who is hurting them. Mm-hmm. And I think that most commonly this comes out of a place of trauma and abuse from childhood, from our family of origin, usually our major caregivers, mm-hmm. or an authority figure, mm-hmm. That we depended on. Like so often, we depend on our spouses, we depend on our partners. Mm-hmm. And so we're programmed to defend and protect and overcompensate for the person that we depend on. So it's like if we meet their needs, if we defend, if we protect, if we compensate for them, then we'll be okay. You know, and yes, that is very aligned with, there's a lot of similarities, I'll say, not always the same thing, but a lot of similarities with codependency and that disease.
Yeah. Because I think when we were going over this title and thinking about it, my first thought was, you know, how we live in denial, because it's such a big protective factor. And especially when it comes to relationships, right? Even though everybody else is seeing it and saying there's so many red flags, I think it hurts a lot more for us on our end as the partner to say, oh, that person isn't healthy for me, to really admit that to self, to say, yeah, there's a lot of red flags is so hard, because I go back to ego. We want to protect ourselves and be like, well, I should have known better than that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of denial. And even though there's so many signs, there could be something wrong.
Of course, there's a great deal of denial. It's how we get into and stay in toxic and unhealthy situations, scenarios, even if they're dangerous, right?
Right.
Somebody, we have a betrayed partners group that meets here in our private practice, and someone, you know, they said, oh, I was Googling the other day, which is always like, oh, no,
great. What are we about to hear?
They said something about you betray partners and complex PTSD. And I was like, oh, well, absolutely.
Right.
I just think it's so much deeper than just complex PTSD. Mm. When I look at a brain mm. scan, to me, it's more like Stockholm syndrome.
Mm.
And there are many more similarities to intimacy betrayal, mm-hmm. To Stockholm syndrome than being in a war, for instance.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And so like, that's the type of trauma you're looking mm-hmm. at when you're looking at the brain of a betrayed partner.
Right.
And so I was like, yes, complex PTSD mm-hmm. and, you know, go deeper with that.
Yeah.
Because when you're talking about defending your abuser, you're talking about Stockholm syndrome.
Mm. Yeah. Because I wonder too, and I've seen this with a couple of clients, and I'd say sometimes like in our personal lives, we see it with people that we really love and care, that when they do exit out of that relationship, they're like, well, why couldn't I defend? Why didn't I just leave in that moment? You know, like I knew it was bad. Yeah. And I kind of have to feel bad for this person because I'm like, you didn't know any better, but it's hard. I see it so difficult for them to take that in and to give some grace, self-compassion. So could you speak on that a little
bit? I mean, it's so complex that I feel like part of what is happening to that person is either they're so dysregulated and so dissociated and so disconnected from themselves and their bodies, mm-hmm. they can't react. They can be in freeze.
Right.
They can be in appease,
mm-hmm.
Which is like, yeah, I'll say whatever you want to hear. Just like, don't hurt me.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I think it's that. I also think part of it is like, I'm so scared to leave this person. I'm so scared that they need me right now. Mm-hmm. I'm so scared of what's going to happen to them if I leave.
Right.
And so we can't discount that that's happening as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of protecting your abuser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, even when they are in your face threatening you.
Right.
Emotionally and verbally abusing and belittling you,
mm-hmm.
it's still, well, you know, what do I need to do to take care of them so that I don't go through this again?
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's part of the pattern that we learn in childhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think like when you're talking about the very first thoughts are like how, like, you know, when I watch true crime, they're talking about like how this person was isolated, you know, like they are this abuser or whoever they are will isolate their victim, you know, financially, make sure that they're reliant, disconnect from family, friends. So there's, you know, I'm the only one that you need. And really, like when I think about it from that perspective, I'm like, how really could you escape when you have no other safety nets, when this person has taken away so much from you and your autonomy that really they are making you dependent on them for protection, safety, whatever it is, you know?
And there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's so that you don't feel like you can survive on your own. You know, you don't feel at that point like you can trust yourself.
Right.
You don't feel like you can take care of yourself. You are dependent mm-hmm. in a lot of ways on the person who is wreaking havoc on your life.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes that person is in the throes of the disease of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very scary place to find yourself. And it's very hard to get out of. And so I think if you're one of those people listening to this, like, you know, safety is paramount.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most important thing. But if you are unable to create a safe environment for yourself, just know you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
It is that natural tendency, I think, in a lot of these cases to defend, protect, overcompensate for, take care of the person who is hurting you.
Yeah.
And I mean, well, we can talk about it and be like, gosh, that's, you know, doesn't sound right.
Right.
But, you know, when you're programmed that way and when you've been told this over and over and over, like, I get it.
Right.
I get it.
I'm wondering, just flipping, you know, from the same other side of the same coin that we're talking about, I think another thing that comes to my mind is people who are going through this, they wonder what would make an abuser, you know, why they choose to do these things and to hurt another human being. And so I wonder, like, talking in the perspective of addiction, how does it lead up to that point?
Yeah. And so I know we talk about this season, and I know I've talked about it in seasons past, but you start to really pay attention first and notice first the dysfunction,
mm-hmm.
you know, the lack of safety, mm-hmm. the inconsistency, the person not being able to show up to mm-hmm. responsibilities, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will come to me and say, well, I think my partner's a narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes we do find that they're active in the disease of addiction,
mm-hmm.
be it chemical or behavioral mm-hmm. or sexual,
mm-hmm.
right? But there are some personalities that are also going to create the same type of cycle of abuse and destruction
mm-hmm.
as somebody who's active in the disease of addiction.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that answers your question, but I think that that's part of the human experience when you're a betrayed partner. And for a lot of the betrayed partners, they come out of dysfunctional and addicted families. So it starts mm-hmm. to feel familiar.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it's not so much that you can see the addiction, especially with sexual compulsivity, mm. right? Like mm-hmm. you can't see it. You can't, you know, like,
right.
That's what's so freaking confusing about it. It's not like you can see the bottle, right?
Right.
Like, it's hard, but you start to notice these kind of like dry drunk types of behaviors mm-hmm. and the, you know, inconsistencies and just being short and being belittling. And you can start mm-hmm. to see that pattern of like, gaslighting and
right.
creating that type of dependency and telling you like what you can and can't do with or without them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just, it's just extremely traumatic.
It is
hard to walk away from.
Cause like when you were talking about like the gaslighting that was going through my mind, cause I think mm-hmm. of just the examples of like, well, if you would just do this, you know, I wouldn't have to go and look for XYZ, like go look mm-hmm. on, I don't know, OnlyFans or porn sites for, you know, whatever. And I'm just thinking of like any person, like female, male, like how belittling that is and makes you like question your existence of like, well, am I wrong? Like, mm-hmm. you know, what did I do? Like, I need to be a better partner now. I'm so sorry. But and then I guess it's easy for us on the outside to say, well, you can't meet that expectation. You know, they're already like putting something on you that you will never achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess if you're in that relationship, right, there's something in you that says, I have to meet that need.
Yeah. And when you really break it down, but of course you can't do this
right.
until you're in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it until you're centered and you're
right.
grounded. You
mm-hmm.
can't hear it for what it is, because what that person is saying is if you're not going to be exactly what I want you to be, mm-hmm. I'm going to hurt you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, like that's what is
yeah.
being said, and it might not be the person talking, it might be their addiction talking,
mm-hmm.
and that's obviously part of what is revealed when they go into their own recovery,
yeah.
but, you know, it takes a therapeutic separation, it mm-hmm. takes therapy, it takes, you know, the opportunity for healing to really understand what that person's saying to you,
right.
and how impossible and ridiculous
right.
and almost comical
right.
their comments are. I mean, completely
mm-hmm.
irrational, not grounded in truth at all.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're in the throes of it, you buy into
right.
it. And frankly, there's a part of you that wants to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You're programmed to be hyper-responsible. And so it's like, oh, if it's my fault, then we can fix this.
Right.
Because I can change.
Right, right.
You know, and that's tough.
It is, yeah. Because mm-hmm. I know we probably will talk about this more later in our season in a candid conversation, but it also makes me think of just the influence of how easy and accessible, like, sexual content is. And mm-hmm. there's like on Reddit, you know, mm-hmm. if anybody's out there on Reddit, one of the things that I was reading was just what are some of the perceptions that, you know, porn has skewed for us. And it was really interesting to read everybody's comments and how there was basically a healthy discussion of like, yeah, this is very skewed. Like women, men don't react this way. We don't look this way. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. You know, I'm glad that people are still out there recognizing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yes, I don't think there is a version of pornography
mm-hmm.
that is out there that doesn't objectify.
Right.
Okay. There is no healthy porn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the, you know, regular porn, whatever, however people want
right.
to, you know, minimize it, it leads to child porn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, it is progressive, it is pervasive, it is leading you somewhere dark.
Right.
That's its mission.
Mm-hmm.
That's its message. That's what happens over time to any human being, well-meaning, well-intended human being.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I will never in any way condone pornography of any type.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously contributes in a great way to slavery and sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you have no idea what has happened to the person who is putting themselves in that situation, right, in those circumstances. And you are exploiting that,
right,
when you participate in the pornography world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're viewing it once or 10 million times. You don't want to be part of that problem.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to contribute that to the, right, world. And so, like, that's my bias. That's my stance. But, right, I've been working with addicts and betrayed partners for 20 mm-hmm. years. So, of course, I have a massive bias.
Right.
I'm also a sex therapist. So I'm about as sex freaking positive as they come.
Mm-hmm.
Pornography is just not going to be part of that.
Mm. Yeah. Because, yeah, I think, too, like, when you talk about, like, sex addiction when it comes to porn, mm-hmm. I could see where, you know, somebody who is so high in their addiction becomes overprotective, where they do take on that abusive role, you know, to gaslight, to mm-hmm. do all that, because they're protecting whatever this fulfills, you know, that mm-hmm. need mm-hmm. for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's part of their defense mechanism, right, as part of the addiction talking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of the recovery process for the addict and for the betrayed partner, okay, is noticing when you're talking to the disease and noticing when your partner pops their head in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, right, that, yeah, really is an art. It takes a lot, right, of therapy, but you definitely know, you learn who you're talking to and how to address what you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I talk to a disease, and this is even in my own office when I'm working with a mm-hmm. client, I'm going to talk to their disease very differently than mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to the wounded child inside of them. Oh, it's a, yeah, very different conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a different language. It's a different level of empathy that I can,
right,
bring.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I want to just also comment to our listeners out there. We've got two great episodes, one with Orzy Cook, where she shares about giving shelter for domestic violence and their pets, victims and their pets. So please check that out. And we'll link it to our show notes. And Dana Diaz, where we will do later on, hopefully, a two-parter about narcissism. So,
yeah,
those,
yeah,
are great. I think it relates to this conversation really,
yeah,
well.
Yeah. And so please like, follow, subscribe, and share, and go back to some of these speaker episodes, because I feel like their willingness to share their personal mm-hmm. stories is hard hitting.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Does anyone else feel like they just earned an extra brain wrinkle? Do you feel like that went by way too fast and just cannot wait till the next episode? Then leave a review and share this episode with a friend, a loved one, a coworker, or whomever, because your valued feedback makes a direct impact. Thank you for dropping in. Snaps to you, because you have made a direct impact by listening to this podcast. Make sure to follow us on social media and stay tuned every week for a new episode of Direct Impact with Andrea Epting. Here is our disclaimer and legal language. Yes, I'm a psychotherapist, but guess what? I'm not your psychotherapist, and I need to be clear that this podcast is solely for enhancement, education, and entertainment purposes only. It is in absolutely no way a replacement for professional counseling services. If you feel like you need additional support, we strongly encourage you to seek that out today. Hey guys, it's your host, Andrea. I have a question for you. How frustrating is it that you have to pay your hard-earned money to see? Personally, I've been wearing corrective lenses since the fourth grade, and the cost has really added up over the years. If you're like me and actually value your dollar, then check out iBuyDirect.com. iBuyDirect has many styles and affordable frames that fit your unique personality. Need specialty lenses like blue light filtering? No problem. iBuyDirect provides many options for customization like bifocals, progressives, tinted lenses, and more. Do you have 20/20 vision? Great! iBuyDirect has you covered too, with many sunglasses options that will allow you to express and enhance your individualized style. You like premium brands? I do. I Buy Direct carries Ray-Ban, Oakley, Vogue, just to name a few. Click the I Buy Direct link in our show notes and get affordable, custom eyewear today. Heads Up Guidance Services, or HUGS, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to removing all barriers to quality professional counseling services. At HUGS, all motivated individuals, couples, and families can access the support they need and deserve in an outpatient setting. They recruit dedicated, compassionate, and socially conscious professionals who volunteer their time and specialized skill pro bono. HUGS doesn't work with third-party payers, insurance companies, or government dollars. Rather, they operate entirely with the support of people just like you. To help support HUGS, visit www.headsupsavannah.org.